Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bij Centraal Beheer gaan we net een stap verder voor onze klanten. Daarom geven we ze 10 seconden van onze zendtijd om hun auto te verkopen.
Dames en heren, 18.000 kilometers heeft mijn Mazda 6 GTM uit 2014 gereden. Hij is rood metallic, de kleur van de liefde. Kijk op Facebookpagina Mazda 6 te koop.
Dankjewel. Wil je deze of een andere auto kopen? Kies dan ook voor de klantvriendelijkste verzekeraar. Ga naar centraalbeheer.nl/auto.
This is the Hip Hop Save My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hip Hop Save My Life episode 8. This is me, Ramesh. I'm here with Rumaj. Hello, Rumaj.
Hey, Ramesh.
How's life?
Good, thank you.
What have you been up to?
I'm looking at booking a holiday.
Wow.
Mm. That's might go to Japan.
Sorry, Catherine has just spoken. You're not allowed to make a noise until I officially introduce you to them.
Japan? Ever been?
I've never been, no.
Might go in June, yeah.
Yeah, I think Japan really still enjoying the spike that they got from Lost in Translation, aren't they?
Yeah.
Is that what inspired
that's
you?
That's coming off the back of that.
Yeah, you're hoping you're going to meet some mysterious woman and then...
Yeah.
And then you'll say something that no one else can hear in her ear and be like, really, Jesus Christ, this banter's dreadful. Anyway, good. Where are you thinking about going in Japan?
I'm not sure. I bought Lonely Planet, so early days.
You're really full of energy today. Like, you're really I've never seen you this excited about anything.
I'm not in character.
No. Mm. Shit. So when are you thinking of going?
June.
Right.
It starts heating up a bit.
Right, yeah, cool. Do you know that from the book?
Yeah, that's the first thing I've read.
Right, okay. Mm. That's good. Well, if anybody's got any recommendations for Rumaj's holidays, please tweet in. I'm going Euro Disney, mate. Is it Euro Disney?
In Paris.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think it is. Catherine, is it still called Euro Disney? Yes, she's nodding. I thought it was called Disneyland Paris now.
Oh.
Two as well. Right, you're allowed to speak, Catherine, so it's just
it's so hard for me. Because guess what, Rumaj, my current boyfriend, Mr. Alex Edelman, is going to Japan in June as well. He's going to Tokyo.
I can see him out there.
Just so you know, steer clear. Tokyo. You have a friend for life. I've been to Disneyland Paris, Euro Disney, and you can call it either thing.
You're allowed to, are you? They don't get annoyed if you call it Euro Disney.
They're going to be annoyed regardless because they're French.
What is it like?
It's lovely. And
apart from really expensive.
It's really expensive. But as you've got small children, it's better than Disney World. Disneyland's smaller,
right?
But in a great way.
Okay.
Because it's like the perfect size for kids, and they will love it. You'll have a great time.
Do they have Star Wars shit though? That's fun.
Yes.
Apparently, there's a Jedi.
Yeah, no, it's Disney. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
They're buying everything, aren't they?
Close we are.
They're getting to the, I know we're closer than normal. I find it uncomfortable. I don't normally look at you in the eye when we're doing this. But anyway.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
I am delighted to welcome to Hip Hop Save My Life, Catherine Ryan. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, thank you so much for having me on your wonderful podcast.
Thank you for coming. How is life?
Life is great. We are some of the luckiest people in the whole world.
Do you mean us as Westerners or?
You and I as famous people.
Right. Why'd you say that?
Well, we are moderately known
on
a really small island.
Yeah.
So we're not important enough to have terrible lives.
No.
But people start to recognize us a bit. Like, oh, maybe we went to college together. Maybe, do you know Steve? No, I don't know Steve. But you have this air of familiarity. And people are nice to you.
Yeah.
People are so nice to me. Except the people who hate me.
Yeah.
But they know exactly who I am. And
it can be a problem. And I want to admit something now, just off the back of that. Is that I was in Benito's hat recently.
Ooh.
Regular listeners will have no idea that I am really into burritos, but somebody might do.
Exclusive.
Anyway, I was in Benito's hat, and the manager recognised me, and it was nice. And then he brought over a dessert to say, it's good to have you here.
Ooh.
And it was so filled with dairy, I couldn't believe it. And then I just ate it because I felt so bad about telling
my
Yeah, honestly, so like, I've compromised.
You really are a coconut. That is the most British thing I've ever heard
in
my life.
It's really bad, isn't it? Like, I didn't know what to do. And so I just ate this dessert, and then halfway through it, a part of me thought, oh, he must know that I'm... How arrogant of that? He must know that I'm bitter. He must know.
Anyway,
it went really bad.
I'm just
really
amazed that...
Can we edit this out? I can't have this going out.
Sure it can. He's a nice guy, and you've plugged Benito's hat.
Yeah, true.
It's what he wanted all along.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the brand episode.
Yes.
He knew that if he made you violently ill, Benito's hat would get a plug. I also love Benito's hat. Ramesh and I have a scale of burrito... places.
Yeah.
Where's Benito's hat is at the top.
Are we, what are the rules
where's
about
where's Chipotle we... sit?
Medium.
Yeah, Chipotle's in the middle. What sits at the fucking rock bottom of all dog shits is Mi Casa. They can eat a dick wrapped in a burrito.
I'd eat a dick before eating one of their burritos these days.
It's like we early doors, we were into Mi Casa, right?
We supported them.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think like, you know when the first one opened up at Victoria?
I've never been.
Well, don't bother going now, mate. But Catherine and I, we pretty much kept that place. I think we're the reason they opened up further branches.
Mm.
And then, you can't, there's no consistency with these pricks, man. You turn up one day, they put shitloads of lettuce. And you turn up another day, no lettuce.
Mm.
The rice has just got no idea if it's going to be cooked or if it's going to be, they're going to poison you. The guacamole... Levels of guacamole in that thing, it's not, it's just unacceptable.
Perpetually off.
Yeah.
It's you know what? We gave them unconditional love and they got lazy, like all Mexicans do. I'm just kidding.
So life's good.
Mm-hmm.
What are you up to at the moment?
I am on tour.
With how's the tour going?
New show. It's all right. It's super fun.
What's the show called?
Cathbum.
Cathbum.
It's what my family used to call me growing up.
Yeah.
But it is now my Twitter handle and the name of my limited company. So, who showed
you
them?
Got a limited company called Cathbum?
Yeah. What's yours called?
I don't have one. I was thinking about calling it like Rangertainment.
Yep.
Catchy.
Have you got one, Ray?
I've got one for this. Mr. Box Productions.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Mm.
Ramesh,
Mr. Box.
I think you're paying the wrong amount of tax if you don't have a limit.
Oh, the amount of tax I'm paying is insane.
So, me too, but I mean, it is a bit...
You seem very sort of settled on that, though.
Well, you sort of think I live the rest of my life in such an immoral, selfish way.
You don't need animal products.
You just sort of think, if I do, if they're given to me for free. So I sort of think, if I'm overpaying tax, then.
I'll hook you up with my accountant.
By the way, for anybody listening, I'm not saying I pay a lot of tax like I'm fucking living large or whatever. What I'm saying is a great proportion. That's what I meant by it.
Mm. You've entered the bracket.
This is shit, mate.
You need to just be a whole lot less... English.
Do you think so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to relax.
You sound like my mum.
Do I?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should be Sri Lankan. Certainly not. I'm just saying you've got a hip-hop podcast.
Yeah.
You need to be black like me.
Right. In what ways are you black? That you pay less tax?
No, I pay tax. Like, don't get me wrong.
Right. Okay.
Just like a lot of black people pay tax.
I believe we've got ourselves into a corner here, haven't we?
I haven't. Listen, I say what I feel all
the
time.
Yeah, no, good.
And people
good.
Can see my true spirit and my kind heart.
Yeah.
And they know that I'm a woman of the people. Because I'm uncensored.
So yeah, no, totally good.
I'm like Donald Trump if he was a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just there's no filter with you, and that's why we wanted you on the podcast.
But we share a disdain for Mexicans. No.
Every previous episode has been so much fucking filtering, isn't
it? Yeah.
Mm. I think you're the first real person we've had on here, so thank you. Okay, let's get on with it.
Hey, man, what's your favorite hip-hop album?
So, I hate to say this to you, but I'm the type of person who does not listen to the whole album.
Okay.
And I know that that's wrong.
It's not wrong.
It's wrong, because you're meant... to buy the whole thing and appreciate it as a body of work. But I got into hip hop just when lots of suburban kids were getting into hip hop.
Yeah.
And I like Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style. I like Nas, Illmatic, though I'm not smart enough to fully appreciate Nas. In the same way that I'm not smart enough.
I thought you were about to say you're not smart enough to fully appreciate Snoop Dogg. I don't think he's operating on that many levels. Okay, so Doggy Style. Let's talk about Doggy Style first.
Okay.
Great album. But you don't listen to it all.
Well, it's that thing where people will say, oh, Fugees are my favorite band. And you'll go, all right, apart from this song, that song, and this song, obviously, name your favorite songs. So I don't know some of the like non-hits.
Yeah.
But I like, you know.
Yeah.
One, two, three into the four. Snoop Doggy Dogg is something that you don't. I like all that.
We'll just run the instrumental.
Yeah. We'll drop the track in. Drop the instrumental and then you'll be over the top of it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I fancy myself sort of a rapper.
Yeah.
And I love that hip hop is about entrepreneurialism.
Yeah.
And I just think a lot of hip hop lyrics are funny. I think a lot of that on that album.
Yeah.
It's like chill and funny. And then Nas is just a genius, but...
Okay, so let's talk about... The thing with Nas, released Illmatic, an amazing album, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, what, 19, 20 years old when that came out. And then he released It Was Written, right? And that was, I would say, met with... people think he went for a much more commercial sound. You know, he had the song with Lauryn Hill, If I Ruled the World, right? So, yeah, so that song was a big smash.
It was a big smash.
Yeah, that song was a big smash. It was a big hit.
Imagine smoking weed in the street without cops harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue Bahama waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters.
But people thought his Nas was like sold out. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And then he started doing shit like You Owe Me with Ginuwine. You Owe Me by Ginuwine. It's, well, not only is it one of Nas's worst songs, it's one of the worst songs.
No.
It's really, although I have friends that say to me that I'm being harsh there. But I think the problem with Nas is lyrically incredible, right? He's got all the multi-syllabic shit, you know what I mean? He's like, he everything about him is fascinating. His selection of beats, I don't know who chooses his production, but it's unacceptable, some of the beats he chooses for his albums, man. His records are ruined.
Yeah.
By the backing tracks on this thing, and like.
So he needed
to
know.
So his later stuff, you mean?
No, right. well, stuff after it was written, and then I reckon Jay-Z brought him back in because Jay-Z dissed him, and then he came back with Ether, and then it sort of like reawakened something in Nas because like, ever since then he's been coming out with the straight bangers. Do you know what I mean? Nothing but smash hits from Nas since then. Do you know what I mean? So like, he's been like kind of reawakened, but. Still, on every one of his albums, there'll be a beat or two. You just think, I don't understand why you did this. And also, I think Nas needs to stay away from sung choruses. You've got enough money to get someone else in to sing the hook. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be doing it, man. It's bad.
So Jay-Z, what relationship has he got to Dr. Dre? Are they rivals?
No, I don't think so. I mean, no, they're not. Jay-Z got gets Dre to do a lot of his tracks and stuff like that.
Because Nas and Dr. Dre,
yeah,
there's a nice partnership.
Yes, well, they had the Firm, didn't they? Did you ever listen to the album?
Mm. Yeah.
Nas, Foxy Brown, and Dr. Dre.
And
I miss Foxy Brown.
Yeah, but and the other rapper.
There was another one.
Wasn't there?
Not
Mace.
Was it Mace?
No, it wasn't Mace. No. What, in the Firm? Mm. No way.
I'm just guessing.
Wasn't AZ? No. Was it AZ?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Should we look it up?
Yeah.
I need to look it up now.
Foxy Brown.
Do you miss Foxy Brown?
Is she in prison?
Because
she was a little, like, scrapper, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was good. There was that song that she did with Case on the Nutty Professor soundtrack, Touch Me, Tease Me.
Oh.
Touch Me, Tease... Something like that. It was so... popular that I couldn't ever listen to her voice again after that. But
I like the ones, this is going out to my in jail, beating they dicks to the double exhale. You know that one? How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the You know that one?
This verse goes out to my niggas in jail, beating they dicks to the double XL magazine. You like how I look in the aqua green? Get your Vaseline, roll some weed with some tissue and close your eyes and imagine your tongue in between my thighs.
You don't know how many licks?
No, I don't know how many licks, no.
What?
A lot of people tell me about this. But
so imagine me, like, more innocent and white than ever.
Yeah.
12 years old.
Yeah.
Listening to, like, how many licks?
Hold on, but how old were you when Doggy Style came out?
Oh, very young.
So Doggy Style had It Ain't No Fun on it, which was like, when I met you last night, baby. You know, it's pretty, I mean, that wasn't the most offensive lyric on the song, I'll be honest with you.
I'm listening to a lot of this stuff.
It's quite sweet, really.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Oh, shit. Rubbish is quite in some of that next level profanity off a doggy stump.
How many licks is little Kim? It's not even Foxy.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Did Susie
can you look up the firm, please, Catherine?
Sure.
And tell me who are the members of the firm.
Oh, wait. Can I just sing you some how many licks? I've been a lot of places, seen a lot of faces. Hell, I even fuck with different races. A white dude, his name was Johnny. He had a Queen Bee rules tattooed on his arm. He asked me if I'd be his date for the prom. He'd buy me a horse, a Porsche, and a farm. Dayma from down south. He used to like me to spank him and come in his mouth. Tony was Italian. He didn't give a fuck. That's what I liked about him. He ate my pussy from dark till the morning, called his girl up and told her we was boning.
Puerto Rican Bobby used to be a deacon, but now he be sucking me off on the weekend. And this black dude I call King Kong, he had a big ass dick and a hurricane tongue.
That reads like sweet. A really shit blog. Doesn't it?
Yeah, oh my God, I'm blushing just reading this. I was a child listening to this. Oh my God.
Yeah, but Doggy Style wasn't much better. Do you remember Mark, do you remember The Word?
Mm.
And then Snoop was on The Word and Mark Lamar was like calling him out for all the misogynist lyrics on Doggy Style.
You can't. You can't open up that door. Because it's a different language. Hip-hop is hugely misogynistic and we just have to let that be and move forward. Because...
What, you just sort of go, nah, it's just... They just like that, don't they? Is that what you think the attitude should be?
It was very much like, get money, fuck bitches. And I'm not saying it's right.
No.
We can be more aspirational with modern hip-hop coming out now. But if you start picking apart everything that came out in the 90s, you're going
to
be very busy.
Yeah, 90s is a problem. I think that's fair to say, isn't it?
It's like the Wild West.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, you know, get money, fuck bitches. Why not just have a chat with some bitches or get to know some bitches?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Or, you know, build a solid foundation for a relationship with some bitches. Do you know what I mean? Like that, why can't it be that?
Which brings me to Corinne Steffens.
Go on.
Do you know about Corinne Steffens?
No.
She's incredible. She has a book that I'm going to order on Amazon for you tonight, and it is called Confessions of a Video Vixen. Mm. And she...
Oh, hold on. Is this...
Superhead?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do know Superhead.
She is the world's first video that I made it into a career. She kind of turned that misogyny back on itself. Mm. So she was in an abusive relationship. She decided, hang on a minute, all these men in my life are giving me these opportunities. I'm going to blow each of them amazingly well to get even more opportunities to the point that I almost
did she write this down
take
or
their
it,
power. In the book.
In the book she says this.
Pretty much that, yeah. That's the narrative of the book. Is her being like, hang on, I have the power.
Did she think that the power was in their ejaculate?
Yes.
So she would blow them.
She had sex with Ja Rule, Will Smith.
No, she did not have sex with Will Smith.
Let me read you. Let's
see the list.
Okay. And what happens?
If you've got something to say, you better own up now.
What happens?
You've been with Superhead, mate. You better, because Catherine's about to fucking.
What happens if you lie? You go to jail. She wrote all this in a book. If she were lying, she would have been dragged through the legal system by now. Okay, so this is a list of rappers and her comments about their penises from the book.
Okay, so she's analyzed their... Not analyzing, analyzing penises.
Scored them.
Sort of giving them a score, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, go on.
Mr. Cal, long. Trick Daddy, long and full of energy. Twista, medium. Will Smith, long. Exhibit, long but comes too quick. Cool G Rap, long but can't fuck. Oh,
Cool G Rap.
He's quite old.
Tyreek. Yeah, that's true.
Redman, hung like a banana. Russell.
Hold on.
Is that better than long?
That doesn't make sense, hung like a banana. Hung like a donkey makes sense. A banana doesn't have a penis.
No, but maybe hung like in a bunch with other dicks. I don't know.
Is that why?
Found in the jungle. I don't know. Russell Simmons, small. No surprise there. Jay-Z, real thick and juicy, but you can't stand looking at him when he's on top.
Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Because I imagine Jay-Z, when he's really like straining, like going for it.
It's a bit of a sweat.
Half.
Jay-Z lives in perpetual cum phase, though, so I mean like...
He can't take his top off either.
Ooh, Snoop Dogg, too long.
Wow.
Nas, small.
Shit.
There are women on this. Debrat, can't eat a pussy.
Imagine if you said Debrat, long.
Who else is on here? Mace, Q-Tip, Timbaland, Master P, Method Man.
Hold on, Mace? Yep. Did you say Mace and then Q-Tip or Mace
like Q-Tip? Is this all together?
No.
This is in one session.
Yeah. No, just over the years. Mace, Long.
This is the end of one episode of Yo MTV Rap. She's like, let's do this. Sorry.
Big Punisher.
Yeah. Was he a big Punisher?
Size as a can of air freshener.
Whoa!
Could be one of those travel ones.
Yeah, that's true.
Shaped like a little Christmas tree. LL Cool J, nice and fat. Ludacris, DMX, long and can fuck forever. Well, not forever, forever.
Can you imagine the noises he'd make?
What you really want?
X gonna give it to you. He gonna give it to you.
That's why he can fuck for so long, because he's so distracted.
He's, all he's talking about is how he's gonna give it to you, but he's, he never gets around to it.
So, what I'm saying about Kareem Stephens is, Jay-Z, allegedly, in this book, pulls up to her in the limousine and says, get in. They're on the video shoot for Hey Mommy?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets her in the limousine and he goes, if you suck me off, I'll put you forward like 3 feet in the video. You get a better camera position. You can see her in a lot of these videos.
Yeah.
Hey Mommy, she's right on his lap.
Okay.
That's great.
I don't understand. What's your viewpoint on this? Are you heralding her as a hero?
I'm saying that anyone who breaks the mold for the better is a hero. And she really made these men.
Mm. Tell you what, Big Punisher would break the mold. Dick the size of a bloody air freshener can.
Yeah.
There's no mold that can hold Big Pun. So anyway. Or Febreze, as I call him. Sorry. So what you're saying is what?
So I feel like there's a tendency in hip hop, from what I have seen anyway, for these wives to allow their husbands all these mistresses, and they sort of don't say boo about it, and that continues today. It's sort of just this different culture of allowing that. And Kareem said their wives all knew about her. They would ring the house sometimes to, if they couldn't find their husband, to be like, oh, is he at
yours?
Shut
the front
door. All friendly between them, like, no, he's not here. Okay, bye.
Wow.
And she said when she wrote this book,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
They had to be accountable for their treatment of women, because people hadn't heard that before. Nobody had the balls or the power to stand up and be like...
So was she saying that that was always her plan, or was she saying that initially it was an exploitative situation, but then she decided to switch it and take advantage of it?
That's it, yeah.
Right, okay.
She just did the best she could with the tools that she had.
Rack your brains. Give it some thought. What was the first hip-hop album you bought?
I really liked TLC, Waterfalls. I believe that counts.
No, but we can talk about
it. For a child.
Okay, fine.
It was like a gateway.
Oh, it was your gateway album. That was Crazy Sexy Cool, that album.
Oh, yeah,
wasn't it?
Was.
Yeah. The first thing I ever stole.
Wow.
Sounds like you're still stealing stuff.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But not the last.
Anyway, but it's a good album.
I bought it. I loved it. And there are some heavy subjects in there.
What did you think of... well, there was. No Scrubs was the big hit off the album, right?
Yeah.
No Scrubs. And then do you guys remember Sporty Thieves did a response track called No Pigeons?
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah.
Uh-oh. I don't want no pigeons. Them be them girls who get no dubs from me. Playing the bar dumb rope where the best friends go. Trying to holler at me.
I don't want no pigeons.
That was terrible. you know who wrote No Scrubs?
Go on, tell me.
This lady called Corinne Steffens, who also wrote Say My Name for Destiny's Child.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Corinne Steffens, you've just been telling us this super.
No, not Corinne Steffens.
I was going to say.
Oh my God. Candy.
She had taken on the power from so many books that she was. She.
What's her name? Candy. That's what it is. Candy.
Yeah, Candy. Who then
do you know
went
who wrote
on...
that song? Candy Barrett.
So no. TLC, so off that you started listening to hip-hop?
Yeah, I loved TLC, and then hip-hop started coming out.
Right.
Like,
it's a closet.
It started being really mainstream all of a sudden, didn't it? And I listened to Wyclef Jean. It's all right, because it's Saturday night, so Mr. Punk, Master Punk, beat something. All you college students playing Ouija's. Check the spelling, R-E-F-U-G-E. He get the CD from Sam Goody. Hee-hee. You ain't even something in the rhymes that I wrote. Let me clear my
did you like the Fugees?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah.
So the Fugees, they did their first album, was good, Landed on Reality. Did you ever listen to that?
Yeah.
Had Buff Bass. Do you remember Buff Bass?
Yeah, I think we mentioned that in
did we?
Episode
oh, God,
one,
shit,
maybe.
Sorry.
Episode two.
But yeah, Wyclef Jean recently in trouble because he set up that charity in Haiti and now it turns out he's been embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars from
it. Wasn't he running for president there?
Yeah. So he was getting in practice for that.
Yeah.
He's just started embezzling. This is good training to run the country. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But apparently he recently went into an interview and they started asking him about it. And then it was just, he didn't even try and come up with a cover story. Like, he just sort of freaked out. Yeah. So it's not good. But he was good, right?
Yeah.
Like Wyclef Jean.
I loved him.
Who did you prefer, Wyclef Jean or Lauryn Hill?
Lauryn Hill. Because it was already a little feminist. I'm twisted, that twisted by some other Negroes. Don't we move my polos on the first episode? I shouldn't just refugees and the whole sound set booty and half a respect jersey because I'm super fly when I'm super high on the Fuji line. Oh, were you? I thought she was so cool. And I believed that my spirit was like these black women. Like, I wanted so much to be a really cool, beautiful, smart black woman.
Did you ever get cornrows and shit?
I always had cornrows.
Right, okay.
I've genuinely always had cornrows.
And is that because of your hip-hop sort of aspirations?
Mm-hmm. No, I had it for a very white reason. We went on holiday.
Oh, God, yeah. Is it one of those? Did you go to Jamaica or something?
No, we never went to Jamaica. We'd go to maybe Mexico, Cuba. Those places, North American holiday destinations.
Yeah.
Here's a little bit that we like to call. How did you get into hip hop?
So, how did you get into hip hop?
I just started listening to mainstream hip hop.
Yeah.
And it was the music that I liked the best. I didn't like rock and roll. In my town, there's country as well to deal with.
What is your town?
Ugh, it's called Sarnia.
Sarnia?
Mm-hmm.
As in Narnia.
But with more sandwiches.
It's just next to it.
Yeah.
Next to it, yeah.
Just it's next to America. It's really near to Detroit, very near to where Eminem is from.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. It's basically the 8 Mile of Canada, where I'm from.
Does it have that vibe about it?
Yes. And I just liked it the best of all the mainstream stuff that was on the radio. I listened to a lot of Lilith Fair stuff, like Sarah McLachlan and Jewel, that type of music.
Jewel.
I know. And then hip-hop took over, and I loved hip-hop all of a sudden. Like Mace and Puff Daddy and Lauryn Hill and all that really mainstream hip-hop. And then I started to appreciate some better.
The Game has just released, not just released, a few months ago. Do you know The Game? He released Documentary 2, right? Which I don't... this whole thing about doing sequels to albums, I think, is bonkers, right? Like, you know when... like Eminem brought out Marshall Mathers LP and then he brought out Marshall Mathers LP 2 and then everyone got excited. It's like it's still the same dude that's been making the ones that you didn't like in between. Just because he's called it 2, it doesn't suddenly mean that he's going to recapture that form. But anyway, The Game's brought out Documentary 2 and Diddy is on it and he is just as annoying as like he always was, man. Like, you know, you sort of thought, I remember listening thinking, I haven't heard from this dude in a while, like on a record.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's doing and it's just him going, yeah, I'm here with The Game.
It's not developed.
You know how we do it? Standing on Ferraris. Having a great time. The Game just bought me a Ferrari. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It was a Tuesday. It's all that kind of shit. So shut up, mate.
It was a Tuesday. Nigga Game give out red Ferraris for no reason. It was just a Tuesday. A motherfucking Tuesday.
Yeah. Nigga said happy Tuesday, Puff. Oh, man. Hip-hop gripes. Is there anything you don't like about hip-hop?
I excuse the misogyny in hip-hop. So I am someone that I think people would expect I'd have a problem with it. But in a way, I don't, because that's an art form that has nothing to do with me. And I think there's a time and a place. It's like, I don't know. It's not ideal, is it? The violence and the misogyny, but...
Is there a point at which you would not listen to a record because of what they said on it?
No, I don't think so.
If there was a record where they were talking about shagging women and then killing them, would you listen to that if it was catchy? If Dre was on production and and the bars were hot, would you still listen to that?
Probably. We listened to Blurred Lines. That went to number one.
Yeah, that's true.
Play that in the morning, that rape anthem.
But that was so catchy, though, wasn't it?
It was catchy. Sometimes you don't hear the lyrics.
No.
I won't listen to R. Kelly, not just out of principle. I think his music's terrible, but...
Hold on. Not all of his music's... You must have... I assume you've seen the masterpiece Trapped in the Closet.
Yes.
Yeah.
The videos.
The videos. Right? Yeah. You watched those.
Cinematic masterpiece. Yeah.
Her name was Bridget. She was a midget.
I don't like R. Kelly.
You know what? If you watch Trapped in the Closet, you can really get into a thing of where you sort of sing everything that you're doing. You know? And then I looked at Broom Edge and I thought, oh no.
Oh no.
How much longer on this podcast do we have to go? You know, like, that was really bad. But
that's
anyway,
it.
You get the idea.
That is it. He sings what he says.
But he thinks it's incredible.
He is the biggest loser. Speaking of
R. What's your problem with R. Kelly? You really, like, you're vicious about R. Kelly now. It's like...
R. Kelly got away with marrying Aaliyah, the queen, which was 14. And I just don't like that he got away with it. And there are lots of other young black teenage girls who say that they had dealings with him.
Yeah.
And they're ignored. Why? Because they're young black teenage girls. And even when Bill Cosby was allegedly raping all these young black women.
Allegedly.
Nobody listened to them. The only time anyone took notice is when another black man spoke about it publicly. And that was comedian Hannibal Buress. Oh, all of a sudden, because another man said it happened. Well, that pisses me off. And it still happens today. It's not a new thing. But I just think R. Kelly is so disgusting. That girl in the video that he peed on. And like, he's just how we accept that as a culture. Be like, oh, well. Lady Gaga's collaborating with him. I don't get that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Plus, his music's terrible.
So you'd listen to anything if it was catchy enough?
Well, I can't say yes, obviously, because I won't listen to R. Kelly. So I guess I have my line.
R. Kelly's your line.
Singing about something is very different from behaving that way. So,
but does it encourage people to behave in that way?
I wonder, because I don't really know. I think there was rape and violence and all that before hip hop was around, certainly before video games and all, you know, there are lots of things you can blame bad things in the world on.
Have you seen this thing about how, like, you know, because porn's so much easier to watch now, right? So like young people are watching porn, like it's more accessible because I don't know what it was like. I found a magazine like down the back of this field, and that was kind of.
That's what I did as well.
Are you serious?
Yeah, in a wood. Yeah.
Is there an understanding from older boys that they'll
leave
their
magazine in a wood.
And it wasn't. That wasn't even sex. That was like a woman just, you know, going, hey, check out the goodies. But, you know, because young people watch so much porn, that's their.
Standard
of what sex is.
Yeah.
So they're all having sex like that. Sounds horrible.
I think that now there are many powerful female voices in hip hop. And so that is naturally changing.
Yeah. And also hip hop isn't, 90s hip hop is not hip hop now.
No.
I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, it sort of, 90s hip hop went big and there's lots of stuff like that. And it's moved on. But people often associate that with what they think hip-hop is still, if that makes sense. But, you know, there's misogyny and everything, isn't there? And long may it continue. Anyway, so... That was a joke.
It's all right.
Live show experiences. Do you watch much hip-hop live?
No.
Do you go to live music, full stop?
Well, there was a time in our lives, my young friends and me, that we could get backstage at concerts because we were...
Is this in Canada?
Yes.
Yeah.
We were like little Aaliyahs running around. but talentless white ones.
Yeah.
So we got backstage at Blink 182 a few times. They are absolute gentlemen. They do not have sex with children.
Is that true? So we can say that because a few people have been tweeting us about Blink 182 asking that question. So can we refute?
Yes.
We can finally put that.
Put it to rest.
If anybody's got any doubts about Blink 182, they do not do that shit. Some 41 though, we can't verify.
Yeah. I would go to, so we went to a Nelly Furtado concert, not Nelly.
No, not Nelly.
Nelly Furtado. Yeah. I'm like a bird, that girl. And she was supported by Swollen Members. Have you ever heard of Swollen Members?
Yeah, I have heard of Swollen Members. I think it's a weird choice for Nelly Furtado to have Swollen Members as their...
Me too.
What was that about?
They're Canadian. She's Canadian.
Okay. But I can't imagine that anyone... They're rap. But I can't imagine that anyone that went to Nelly Furtado is thinking, is also a Swollen Members fan.
Yeah.
Can't be. That Venn diagram doesn't overlap, does it?
No, it was a very strange mash.
How were they received?
I don't remember. I think people just dealt with it. I mean, we went backstage that time again because one of their tour managers fancied one of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a real abrupt halt to my band chasing because it was so disgusting. I thought, this is where we are. We're 15 years. No, we must have been 16 years old because I drove there. So we're 16, I guess.
Hold on. Are you saying that to absolve Swollen Members of any criminal possible?
They didn't do anything.
You're trying to avoid pulling a Hannibal Buress on Swollen Members?
Trust me. If anyone statutorily raped any of my friends, I would be shouting about it every
day.
Okay,
fine.
Don't worry. It was that one time. But we went backstage. My friend was chatting to the tour manager. And then they're, oh, we're going to go to the hotel next and you can meet Swollen Members. And we're like, woo. And I remember never really being on board with this the way that I was to meet Blink-182 or Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
Cool bands. So we went to the hotel and I'm...
The name isn't promising as well.
No. So they opened their hotel room a crack and the tour manager was like, oh, I've got these girls here. And I'll never remember. It was the least hip-hop thing I'd ever seen in my life. Whoever, which one it was, put his face to the door and said, no, turn them away. I'm busy getting my dinky stinky. Those were his words. And then he already had girls inside. And I just thought, never again.
Get a dinky stinky.
That was what he said.
Wow.
Dinky stinky.
Do you reckon that was freestyled or he had that in the locker?
It's the name of their next album. Swollen Members, Dinky Stinky. I don't know. They're pretty good guys. Who knows? Maybe these are their girlfriends. It was a long time ago. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, but if it's your girlfriend, you don't open the door and go, sorry, you've got to go and get my dinky stinky with my long-term life partner.
Maybe you do. Maybe they're role-playing.
If my wife heard me go, oh, I think it's dinky stinky time, I'd be single. Be divorced.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Fair play to them. They did not have sexual relations with the 16-year-old girls that night.
No, because they'd found some other 16-year-old
girls. Those girls were definitely like 45.
45?
Yeah, I saw them on the way in. Yeah, it was really grim. Anyway, I never went backstage at any other concert.
So at that age, you thought this is too sordid and shitty? And,
I saw a lot.
Yeah. And do you go to stuff now?
Festivals. Whoever's playing at a festival, I go. I'm going to see Little Mix on the weekend.
Sweet. They've come up a lot on this podcast, actually.
Have they?
Yeah. No. Madonna has. Who else? We end up talking about Cotton Eye Joe,
Cotton Eye Joe,
Because hip-hop is not one genre, I think. It extends to all these different things.
If this is leading into a thing about how you're going to argue the Little Mix of hip-hop...
I'm not.
I'm going to have to cut you off.
No, I'm not.
But have you got to see... Because you did Bring the Noise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you met loads of, musicians and stuff like that.
I saw Wretch 3-2 on Bring the Noise. And I love him.
I saw... Was Wretch 3-2 on Bring the Noise when you did that staring competition?
Yes.
And what was he like?
He was an absolute gentleman, and I was so glad to learn that because his music kept me in a really bad relationship too long, actually, because I was in the middle of many times trying to split up with my partner, and we were in the taxi, and then that song, don't go, don't leave, please stay with me, and then when that's good, when I got introduced to you, I knew I'd be true to you, everybody wanted a piece, whatever that song is, I love that song.
Did you tell Wretch 32?
Yeah, I said, how dare you?
I went to see Nas, and he brought out Wretch 3-2.
He did?
Yeah, he did. to do like his big number, right? But I got worried because the last time I'd seen Nas before that, he brought out Dizzy Rascal. What happened was, I've seen Nas a couple of times, right? The second time he brought out Red Street 2, the gig was great, no incident, right? The first time I went to see Nas, there was somebody had a gun, pulled it out, fired it into the air, right? Mm-hmm. The whole crowd went batshit crazy and like were running all over the place. It was like terrifying, right? And then after a bit, Nas came back out and sort of went, you think that's going to stop me? Let's carry the show on. I mean, that was a dreadful Nas impression, but you sort of like that, right? And then he brought out Dizzy Rascal. And everyone goes nuts and think, oh, wicked, we're going to put the guns behind us. Mm. We're going to get on with it. And also sort of thinking, you know, I'm not going to get a refund for this. I sort of want to get my so we were in there. Dizzy Rascal's out, like, doing... And then Dizzy Rascal, he's been on for a while. He's just looking to the side. And, like, he's obviously on for longer than he anticipated. And Nas never came back.
No!
Yeah, just like... You think that's going to stop me putting Dizzy Rascal's life in jeopardy? So when I went to see Nas the next time when Wretch 3-2 came out, I thought, I wonder if Nas has bought this far off the venue. I was going to duck out.
So this was in the UK. Someone had a gun.
Yeah. I didn't... Wow. Well, the thing was, is that... Yeah, somebody, like... I didn't know what happened. I got separated from my friend, and then there was a bang, and it sounded like... I thought it sounded like one of the speakers had blown up or something like that, because you don't think gun, do you know what I mean? Mm. And then a couple more shots, and then just everyone was like running all over the place. It was mental. And then there was like a big empty space in the middle where people were moving to the sides, and I was trying to find my brother, and he said that I ran straight across the empty space to find him, and he said if a gunman had been looking for someone to take out, I presented myself as, like, you know, the little gazelle at the back of the...
Yeah.
Hey man.
Oh.
Yeah, he said it was pretty embarrassing. Nice. He said he saw me run across the space and thought, I hope he doesn't find us, after behaving in such a non-street manner.
It's difficult for
just
a man
showing no,
from crawling.
Showing
no
survival. Were you screaming as well?
And I went to the Mobo Awards.
Oh, yeah. I never got invited. Listen, I'm going to say this officially. Mobo Awards never invited me. I'm getting pissed off. I don't think there's anybody doing more for music of black origin than me with this podcast. Do you know what I mean?
I've not had an invite either.
Have you not? Okay, fine. But you had an invite.
I presented an award.
What award did you present?
Best album.
You presented best album?
Yeah.
Get the shit out of here, man. I would have... Did they have like a little... I would have presented like a... Do they have like little awards?
Maybe you need to examine the contribution that you are really making to music of black origin. Take a look at me.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're not even black.
Sorry, am I... What?
You're as black as I am.
No, I know. No, I know that. I mean, I'm not under any illusion that I'm black, but the way you said that to me was like, I'm talking to a black woman now.
I keep saying that I am a powerful black woman on the inside. That's how I identify myself. I love
that.
Them. They knew it. They could sense that I'm the fan. Listen, I loved it. One time I was listening to a comedy podcast, and who was it? Female, British, black comedian. Really great. Oh my God, this is crazy.
Andy Osho?
Yes, she's great, but it wasn't Andy Osho. Gina Yashir.
Gina
Yashir.
So why don't we say Gina Yashir?
I don't know.
Is it Yashere?
I don't know.
I'm so tired in this country of hearing names pronounced different ways.
Right. Well, actually, I pronounce my surname wrong. Not apparently, I do pronounce my surname.
Oh, okay.
Ranganathan is not right. It's Ranganathan.
Oh.
That's the Sri Lankan pronunciation. And every so often, I'll get someone going, you are fucking next level coconut, mate. You don't even pronounce your own surname properly. Anyway. What was Gina saying?
So they were speaking importantly about black presence in comedy, in mainstream comedy on television, everything else. And then someone said, oh, well, there's so-and-so, there's so-and-so, there's Ramesh Ranganathan. And then they just carried on. And I listened to this podcast and I was like, he's not black. But hey, you are, maybe.
But if... No, I mean, I definitely am not under any illusions that I'm black.
Listen, I was just being mean to you.
But I do consider myself to be consider myself to be a powerful black woman, sort of on the inside.
So listen, this podcast is great, and it is doing a lot for...
No, fuck the Mobos, yeah? That's what I said. Yeah, I said it. Catherine won't. Fuck the Mobos, yeah, for not inviting me. There you go. I said it. I want it repeated on loop for the last 10 minutes of this podcast. For not inviting Ramesh Ranganathan, one of the most powerful black women in the industry. Right? Yeah. Fuck them.
No, who won best album?
Skepta. Was it?
Was it?
Good night.
Jesus. I don't
and
know
the winner is was it?
Because Lenny Henry started talking, right, thanking everyone in the UK.
So it might be Lenny Henry that won the award.
Idris Elba was talking. It was amazing. Yeah. I was just having an amazing night.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
Sweet. We've overrun massively.
Uh-oh,
is there
fault.
Anything you'd like to plug?
No.
I send out an email to the guests of this podcast,
oh, yeah,
with the questions in advance, just to see, so we don't talk about the same thing again. Because for
Eminem syndrome.
Because for four podcasts in a row, we talked loads about Eminem, and people start to get pissed off.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. By the way, I don't know how you get pissed about something that's free. Anyway,
yeah,
the point is that I said at the end, the last question is always, "What would you like to plug?" Mm. And Catherine has written, "Your mum."
Mm-hmm. The diss.
It is a diss, yeah. I liked it. You're on tour, though, right?
I guess
is it all
so.
Sold out and shit?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Nothing to plug.
No, there are tickets.
How sweet is that to be on a tour and not have to plug it?
Well, I'm still here.
Tickets are selling themselves.
Who's your support act?
Ooh, I mix the support acts up. So I have some of my very best friends and most esteemed comedians. Jeff Norcott is incredible. Ramesh and I think, are both huge fans of his.
Correct.
I like Harriet Kemsley. There's a lovely little girl from the north called Lauren Pattison, who is newish, but so layered and dark and talented. Really, really funny.
God, I fucking hate hearing about new people.
Why? Oh my God. Hot on your tail.
Yeah, just fuck off.
I love them.
Fuck off. Will people stop taking up stand-up? Jesus Christ.
I've asked Ramesh, if you're ever in the area, you want to hang out? Because people have this ego thing. I can't support someone else's tour.
Hold on. That's not why I've not done it. Don't fucking throw that in there straight after you mention my name. That's such
why
a bullshit move.
Why are you doing it then?
Because I'm not free when you're doing it.
Okay. I would support your tour now. Flash.
I'm sure you would. But, you know, the thing is, some people have an ego. Fuck you, Catherine.
What if someone brings
just throw that straight in there.
What if someone brings a firearm?
What?
And you need me.
He'll just be running around.
To get on stage and take that danger.
Right, I'm gonna check your dates again, and I swear, if there's one that I'm free, I'm gonna come and fucking support it, and then you're gonna regret it because I'm gonna do all your stuff.
Okay.
All right, sweet Catherine, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank
really
you for
appreciate
letting
it.
Me in. Oh, can I just say, I do want to plug.
Yeah, go on.
Ramesh Ranganathan is the world's most wonderful man. He's everyone's favorite. He's so talented. Maybe you think, oh, he's on TV too much these days. Wrong. He deserves all of his success. He's got like 8 kids to support. Keep being his friend.
Thanks, Catherine. I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye, Ramesh.
Bye-bye.
1, 2, begin for the foe. Snoop Doggy Dogg is something that you don't.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.